So to make it fair, I'll just mute this one as well. We're just going to give him a quick second here to see. All right, now I'll keep talking, and then you fix. Must be the Afrikaans accent that broke it. So, all right, is it on? Not yet. Okay, so it'll probably come back on. If you can't hear us there, just move over to this side. It's working pretty well on this side, so if audio is a problem. We're going to get going. I'm Adrian. This is Olaf. We've been involved with K2 since the day that it started, so it's been a long journey for us. It's been a fantastic event, but there's a lot that we want to show to you this morning. What do? We built a platform called K2 that will allow you to very quickly automate processes, workflows in your organization, put forms on top of it, whether those forms are part of the workflows or whether they run standalone, and integrate it very easily into your existing environments within your organization. Existing data, existing information, it doesn't matter where it's at. We think about those as business applications. We don't talk about workflow in isolation. We don't talk about forms in isolation, even though it's entirely up to you how you want to use it. And we don't sell our software like that either. If you buy K2 from us, you get the whole thing. You don't get one and then a discount if you buy the other one or funny stuff like that. We believe in the entire solution, so it's one platform, and it's all in, and it's really powerful. So we're gonna show that to you this morning. The one thing I just want to put up there quickly, we just came out of our user conference. Some of you here in the room was there. I wanted to just give you an example of some of the customers using our software. Guys and Thomas in the UK rebuilt their medical hospital management system, a few thousand users, doctors on our platform. Kimberly Clark has deployed more than 400 applications using K2 workflows integrated into SAP, integrated into SharePoint. It's a fantastic story. They talked about it quite publicly. Shell selected us as their global platform, so anywhere around the world, whether it's oil fields in Texas or drilling platforms in Malaysia or their head office in The Hague, they use K2 extensively. And then if you were in the keynote this morning, you would have seen a big slide that said, K2 runs on Microsoft, Microsoft runs on K2. Microsoft's been a customer of ours for about 6 years. They came back about a year ago, and they rebuilt one of their core systems on our platform, and Spence from Microsoft talked at our user conference about how they did it and why they selected K2. So we're very proud to have these customers. I highlighted a handful here from thousands, but the stories are pretty amazing. So what is it that we do for them? I had this question out there, so I want to spend 15 seconds on this slide. K2, it does not matter where your SharePoint runs on-premises, or in the cloud, or both. K2 integrates with both of those seamlessly. All the features and capabilities that you are going to see today is available across both those environments. You can do everything. You can combine the two. Use one K2 server and combining SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises and build solutions that span across both of those. A lot of customers said to us, this is important for them. They said to us they want to be able to breach those environments. They want to let their people work seamlessly across those. They don't want two workflow servers, two engines, two task lists. It's one company. It's one group of people. It's the same people that work across both of those. And they want to be able to access it from any device. Windows Phone, mobile, iPhone, iOS, browsers, new platforms. It should be easy to use those applications. When they talk to us about SharePoint, and I have a couple of slides left and I'm going to give it to Olaf and we're going to demo K2. But just to set the context, when people talk to us about SharePoint, there's three scenarios. On the left, there are workflows that integrates with document libraries and list items or content types. But it's all about the item in SharePoint. It triggers a workflow. And sometimes it's really simple workflows. You have a sales document, you want to send it to your manager for approval. Those solutions evolve very quickly into a second scenario where additional information needs to be sent with that. I have the Word document, sales proposal for a customer. At that same time, I want to send the customer's information, his last orders, all the issues that we might have had with that customer, resolve tickets, and send that to the sales manager so he can make an informed decision. Maybe I want to go and pull some data out of Yammer, show the latest thread. Maybe I want to pull some information from LinkedIn. But that very quickly goes from a single list item workflow into a much more evolved application. And then we have the scenarios where the solutions don't start within the context of a list item or a document. They start outside of it. Home loan applications and banks, insurance claims, production systems and manufacturing organizations. But they still, along the line somewhere, integrates with SharePoint. Go and put documents there, records, retrieve, update information, look up information and rules. But the items never, it doesn't originate around a specific list item. Now, we want customers to span across all three of those. You shouldn't start on the left, have to buy additional features to go to the middle and then go buy a different product when you want to solve a solution on the right. K2 allows you to span across all of those. And K2 for SharePoint 2013 makes it even easier. We're going to show that to you as well today. It integrates into SharePoint. It allows, it lights up all its features and capabilities, forms, workflow, data, and reports within SharePoint, within the context of SharePoint. You install the app out of the App Store, so it's a really small installation footprint. And then from that point onwards, you have access to all the capabilities. We're going to show you some forms this morning. These forms are built on K2 Smart Forms. They're really powerful. They allow you to bring information from different systems within your organization together easily without writing code. And we don't think that not writing code means you have to write JavaScript. JavaScript's a programming language. If you have to write JavaScript code to go and get information from another system, you're invested in the wrong forms platform. So in K2, when we have forms, you'll see that they will take on the look and feel of a SharePoint form. It sort of disappears seamlessly into that environment. This form I can use, this exact form I can use in other applications as well by just embedding it and calling it from a different application. It might look differently, it might behave slightly differently because it's now in a different app, might get additional data. And underneath that sits our rules engine. It's a declarative rules engine, again, no code. Why no code? Because you don't have to debug, you don't have to compile and run into version history or version issues. See, K2 describes the environment where the form is going to run. If you use a form and you start using it in different places, you can switch rules on and off, you can change the behavior of the form without having to rebuild the form. And we just see too many times that people build the same logic over and over and over again. It shouldn't be necessary. If you describe a form, if it's declarative, the form will understand where it is, it will understand where it's being used, it will understand how it needs to behave differently and how it needs to look. Might be on a mobile device, formatted slightly differently, might be called from a different application. We're going to show some of that to you this morning as well. Lastly, I have Chrome with Salesforce.com. It's about the most non-Microsoft software that can put on one slide. We have K2 running inside of that environment. Now, why am I showing this to you? Because even though these solutions might originate from within SharePoint, it should be really easy to go and take them and put them in your other applications that users use within your organization. In this case, we have a sales order proposal that's going to a customer. I want that to be available in my CRM system as well. How easy is it to take this application, even though it was built in SharePoint, and go and put it somewhere else where other people use the applications as well? Olaf is going to show that to you this morning as well. But those are really important differentiating features. When you start doing that, when we start working with people's data, we have a huge responsibility. Are you guys?
There we go. I figured it out.
That's fine. Now it's all off, sir. Can we get it back on? All right. Yeah, everybody can now go. Let's go back on that side. You guys do this on purpose. All right, sounds like this side's back up. Is that side on? Oh, gotta be kidding me. Thank you. All right, I'm gonna keep on going. So what you have here is when we start integrating into data, we have a responsibility. If there's one thing we learned in this last year, organizations listen and look at what we do. And we do not want to assume the responsibility of protecting your information. So what we do, and that's our smart objects technology, it's patented, it's being used in high volume transactions environments, but what we do is we leave your data where it is. If you have data in SharePoint, that's where it stays. If you have data in SAP on-premise, that's where it stays. SAP knows how to protect its data in SAP, who the users are and what they can do. We can't replicate that in K2.
If it comes to your device, it stays on your devices. Not in our environment, not in our world. We never, ever, ever will cache data in the K2 environment. It's wrong. It's the wrong thing to do. It's the wrong platform to have. We do not replicate data in our environment. And we should never, no architecture, no third-party application that integrates into SharePoint should do this. If we have a forms technology on this, the data stays in the environment. This is really important for us, and it's important for our enterprise customers as well that invest in our technology. We're going to show you a little bit about workflow. We have a long history with workflow. The new environment's much upgraded, a lot of new additional capabilities. We took all of that and we took it into our traditional environments as well. For those of you that use our more powerful tools, business process management notation, those kind of capabilities are all there. You don't have to use those tools. You can stay entirely within the browser if you want to. Willoff is not going to open any desktop applications this morning, although it's there, it's available for you to use, it has been, and we continue to evolve and enhance those. Lastly, mobile. We're making huge investments in mobile. You're going to see a lot from K2 Mobile. We made an acquisition in this space a while back. There's brand new mobile applications from us. We're not going to demo mobile today. There's another session tomorrow morning where we're focusing on cloud, a lot of cloud stuff. We're focusing on mobile, even though that cloud's also hybrid. So if you want to see the mobile stuff, please join us tomorrow morning. There will be some Microsoft presence in that session as well, where they will talk about what we're doing with them. So to wrap it all up and to hand over to Willoff, what you're going to see this morning, this is a standard out-of-the-box task, form, or app in SharePoint 2013. We're going to take this standard form, and we're going to add a lot of stuff to it. We're going to turn it into a smart form. We're going to add information to it. We're going to add some capabilities to it, and we're going to bring some data from other systems, and then we're going to use this in other places as well. Just to summarize this, what you will see is the blue block is SharePoint. The one on the right is our CRM system. In this case today, we're going to go live. We're going to go out to salesforce.com if the internet holds up. Active Directory plays a role. Information comes from AD, whether it's Azure, synced into Azure or on-premise, doesn't matter. And at the bottom, we're going to throw Yammer in here as well for this specific task item. We're going to pull some Yammer information in here. And we're going to do this all live on stage and build it out. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to hand it over to Willoff, who's going to take over. We'll go through this. At the end, we will stop for some Q&A, and then we'll take it from there. If we run out of time towards the end, please join the session, SBC 2000, tomorrow morning. We'll show you the mobile stuff. We'll show you a lot of the cloud stuff. It's really cool and pretty impressive what you can do. And the cloud stuff works with your on-premises software as well. So, again, it's an important model for us. Willoff, over to you.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Just to check, is my microphone on? Can you guys hear me? Okay, fantastic. Right, so as Adrian mentioned, I will be spending almost the entire demo building this solution from within the context of SharePoint. So this is my SharePoint site. This is one of those nothing is pre-built, take you from nothing all the way through to the full-blown solution type demos. So hopefully I won't make any mistakes along the way. But we'll start with absolutely nothing, and you'll see that we'll end up with the solution that Adrian had on the slide earlier by the end of this session. Right, so let's go and create our first content. We use SharePoint as the primary UI to be able to configure your data sources. So in this case, I'd like to add an app to my SharePoint site, which is going to be a tasks list. Because we're at a conference right now, it might be applicable to call this conference tasks, which we could use if we were an organization putting on a conference and need to be able to capture a couple of tasks that need to be done throughout the conference. All right, so I've got my list there. I can simply click on my conference task list. And then when I go to the list properties, you'll see that because I've installed the K2 application from either the App Store or from my local store, I now have access to that here on the ribbon. So I can now create an application for this list inside SharePoint. And I have the choice now to pick what this app is built of. You can see here data is our smart object layer that Adrian spoke about earlier. And I'd like to go and generate some forms there as well. So I'm just going to say data and forms and hit OK. What's going to happen now behind the scenes is that we will generate a smart object, which is a representation of the list, as well as some additional smart objects for things like some of the choice fields that appear on that list, as well as for the attachments, because list items can optionally have attachments. And I'm also generating a bunch of forms and views. Now, in K2, views are our single building blocks of forms, and forms comprise of one or more views. And there, that generation is complete, and I've got my basic building blocks. So I can go back to my list, and let's go and capture the first task. So I'll say a new task. And now, instead of seeing the out-of-box SharePoint list, you now see the K2 smart form that's now being rendered here with all of the rich controls that you get out of the box with that platform. So I'm going to go ahead and capture my first basic task. Oops, I'll type properly. And let's go and capture a start date and an end date. So that's going to be next week. Oh, my voice has come back again on the side. Fantastic. And let's go and allocate this to a user. So in this case, I'm going to send this to Bob. This is actually a picker control that's looking up my user and group store and bringing back that user for me here on my form. Right, so something like that. And we can just go ahead and click save. So this is the example of what the user would see, and I've gone from nothing to building my list to creating a basic smart form very, very quickly. Of course, as you know, the very first thing that any user wants to do after a solution has been deployed is, of course, change the solution. So let me show you what we can do to actually go through this whole application lifecycle of changing this and enhancing this application in place. I mentioned earlier that our main UI for managing this list is still SharePoint. So I'm going to go to the SharePoint list settings and go and add some columns to this list. Right, so I'm going to create a new column. The first thing I want to know is what is the name of the company that this task is for. So let's just call this company, and I'll leave that as a single line of text and add that to my form. Now, this is pretty important information to me, so I'm going to actually go in here and change the column order. So let's go here and move that company right the way up to the top. In fact, after task name, for me, this is probably the second most piece of information, so I want the ability to be able to control that using the same familiar SharePoint UI. Right, so lastly, one more thing I'd like to do is I want to categorize these tasks. Now, I've got another list over here that's already inside SharePoint called Category, which happens to have a couple of items within it. I want to leverage that information as a choice or a lookup field within my list. So let's go back to Conference Tasks, and once again, using the standard SharePoint UI, I can go and add that column to my list. So we'll call it category. I'm going to call this a lookup. There we go, that page will refresh. And there it's going to already pick that category list. It's the only other list on this site. And hit it. Oh. That is interesting. Let me try that again. Let's go to list settings. Did it create it or not? It did not create it. I want to try that one more time. That's very odd. Category, this will be a lookup. Oh, did I miss it? Oh, sorry, apologies. Let me just go and take a quick look. Oh, here it is right here at the top. Oh, that's very strange. Oh, well, I don't know. That was some kind of SharePoint UI issue there. We'll go back to our list and once again click on the K2 icon. Now something interesting happens. We see a slightly different page than we did last time, so no longer a wizard to go and ask you if you'd like to create an app. We already have an app with a couple of artifacts. And if you saw on the top right, it had a little asynchronous validation to go and see whether the solution we've built here and the list it's built on are still in sync. In this case, it realizes that some changes have been made to the underlying list, and it allows me to either refresh my smart objects or go ahead and refresh everything. In this case, I want to trickle that through all the way, so I can simply say regenerate, which is going to go and update the smart objects to reflect the changes made to the underlying list, as well as surfacing that all the way through into my forms. But you'll also see in my demos, as I go through each of these steps, I'm going to keep capturing list items because I need some data in my list so we can do some filtering later on. Right, so let's go and capture a new task. There we go. Let's say we're going to call this one Review PowerPoint Decks. And in this case, I'm going to say this is for Edge Communications. My company text box is now here, and I can select a date. So let's say we'll start that next week, Monday, and it should be done by the end of the week. And I'm going to assign this to Brandon. Of course, Brandon's actually quite far along the way already, so let's say he's 75% done. Just check the flow of the decks or something like that. Right, if I scroll down to the bottom, there's my category available as a dropdown. When I click there, all of the items from that lookup list are now available for me to use directly on my form. So being PowerPoint decks, this is probably an audiovisual category. And then lastly, we have this attachment view at the bottom. So we make that available for you directly here on the new list item.
So I'm going to go and add an attachment of the actual PowerPoint deck itself. I think I've got it here in a folder. There we go. Let's go and grab that deck, attach that to this task. There it sits, and hit save. And my task is now created. So very easy to use these rich forms and to leverage this information. Right, so this has all been very simple data that resides within SharePoint that I've used thus far. However, I'd like to actually leverage some of my line of business data and show you how easy it is to bring data from external systems into this same solution. Now, the company field is a good example. This is a very error-prone field. If I type in edge communication or edge communications, or sometimes I don't use a space, my data will be very dirty, and I'd like to have accurate data captured for these tasks. Furthermore, there's so much additional information about that company that we could leverage on this form. So I'm going to go back and customize my form. So this is the third time that we're going in. The first time we generated some content. This time we're actually going to take some of our existing views and forms and enhance them. So I can click on my new task view, and I can simply open it up within this environment and make changes to that directly here. So I actually want to change this item. It's going to ask me, do you want to check it out? Yes, I do. And I'd like to change that company field to be a picker control. So I can simply click on that field, click on change control, and simply select a picker. No code or anything. And there we go. So there's my picker control in my form. And now I need to wire this up to some data source in order to retrieve the companies that I want. So I'm going to go to my smart object list. And I have a smart object over here that points to salesforce.com that retrieves all of my account information. So I can simply select that and make use of that for this picker. I don't actually want to search on all of the columns in Salesforce. So the name is plenty, and that's what I want to show as well. Right, so we've quickly changed this to a picker. Whilst I'm in editing this form, I'd like to show you some other changes that we can make, how we can actually edit the rules in here and use logic directly on this form to influence its behavior based on information that also potentially resides in SharePoint. So we have this predecessor list, which is other list items which I can tag and allocate to this particular list item. And I'd like to go and filter that list down to only show me tasks that are at least half done by this stage. So let's go to our rules. And you can see here we have an initialize rule. And this rule asynchronously goes and loads a lot of this detail for me. And I can simply go and edit this rule to go and filter down some of this data. So let's go to the multi-select list. I'm going to add a filter. I can simply say, let's say percentage complete must be greater than 0.5, seeing as this is a percentage. There we go. Very easy to capture that, make that change. Hit finish, and I've now gone and enhanced this form. So I can hit finish. It's going to save my changes, and my view now has been enhanced to not only use SharePoint data for that filtering that list, but also Salesforce.com for a picker. But that's not all I'd like to do. Once I pick a company on my form, I'd like to load some details out of Salesforce.com and show that to the user as well. So let's take the form and check that out and edit that. So as I mentioned earlier, views are individual pieces or reusable pieces of forms that we can use, and forms comprise one or more of these views. You simply assemble these forms by dragging and dropping views on them. So now that I've edited my new task form over here, you can see there's the new task view. That's the one where we changed this control to be a picker earlier on with the attachments at the bottom. So I'd like to now bring in some of that Salesforce.com data and use that on this form. So let's go to our Salesforce category. There I've got my account details view. I can simply drag and drop that onto this form, and you can see here, there it appears. Let's give that a name. I'll call this account details. And just to indicate, this data is coming from Salesforce.com. Fantastic. Right, so we usually make our forms quite narrow so that they can fit in on these widescreen displays and not have these massive white spaces. But in this case, I actually want to use all of the available space. So I'm going to make my form 100% of the available width. That looks fantastic. And now the last thing I have to do is create one more rule. So when my picker control resolves a company, then it needs to go and tell my account details view to go and load all of those details from Salesforce. So we're going to create a brand new rule. So I'm going to click Add Rule. And this is a very simple rule. Basically, when something happens in a control on one of my views, in this case, the control is my new task view, and the control is the company picker. And as soon as that gets changed, then I want to go and send its value across to my Salesforce.com view so that it can go and load itself. So we can do that by very simply transferring some data. And I'm just going to send that value from the one to the other. So you can see here these, where I can set up all of my bindings between the two. Here's my account details view, and it has a single parameter called account name. And I can simply send that in from my control. So I'm going to grab the company picker, drag and drop that across, hit OK, and I'm done. So let's go and save that and go and take a look. Right, so we've done two loops now. Just hit finish. I'm back here on my application page. I'm going to go back to my list. So let's go and capture a new list item. There we go. So when I say new task, now I can see the richer form that's opened up right here. And let's say the next thing we need is let's organize a cab from the airport. Let's say this is also for Edge. So now this is a picker control. As soon as I tab or lose focus, it's going to start trying to resolve that against Salesforce.com over the internet. I'll give that a second or two. There it is. And this is actually coming live from Salesforce.com. And there's also gone and loaded the details of Edge Communication and added that to my form right over here. Excellent. So let's continue capturing this item. Let's say this has to be on this week over here. And this particular item I'm going to allocate to James. There we go. And I'll give that a category. This will be transport. And save. Right, so we've brought that line of business data in here. I'd like to take the solution even further. Now, SmartForms is a very extensible platform. So we provide a whole bunch of controls out of the box, not only the basic controls, text boxes, buttons, and everything else, but even the richer controls, such as the ones that we need for SharePoint, choices with multi-selects, checkbox lists, and even extremely rich controls like mapping controls and graphing controls. I'd actually like to show you one of the controls that was developed by our own field team out of Australia. So I'm actually going to go ahead and edit this form and take it even further. Right, so let's go back to our application. And in this case, I'm going to build a brand new view. So I'll just simply hit New View. And once again, that design environment opens up directly within this context. And I can go ahead and start building this view. So I'd like to use a calendar control. I'd like to be able to see when my team members are busy and available. This thing can be pointed to an Exchange calendar, to a Google calendar, or in this case, I can even point it to the very same list that I'm using and leverage and surface that data visually on my form. So I'm going to call this calendar. This is just going to be a very simple view. And let's create a very basic layout table. Don't need a whole lot of space. Perfect. And let's go to our controls. So you see here, these are all the controls that we provide out of the box. And in this case, here's the one that comes from Australia, our full calendar control. I can simply drag and drop that on and use it on my form. What I need to do now is wire that to a smart object. You can see here, all of our data always goes through our smart object layer. And this is where I can now point this to any smart object that I want to. And in my case, I'm actually going to use the exact same list. So you can see here's my site. There are all my lists, and here's the conference task app we built earlier with all the smart objects that we have available for this list. So I'll simply grab conference tasks. Right. It defaults to all the right methods. I can make a slight change here. Let's say I'd rather would like to see who this task is allocated to. So I'm going to grab this assigned to field, drop that on, but I also would like to know what the name of the task is, so I can simply build this up visually and build up this display template, drag and dropping these fields in. Great. And then I see here it wants to know what's the span, the start date, and let's go and map from the start date to the due date. Right, so that's my view, wired to a smart object. Can go and hit and save that, and then we can incorporate that view on our form. So I'm going to go back to our new task form, edit that one more time so I can incorporate this view. Now, if I scroll up and down here, I can see that this side of things is actually starting to get quite busy and long already, so there's not really a whole bunch of space here. I'd like to add some tabs to my form, so I can just go and put that calendar on a second tab. So I simply hit Add Tabs, go and create another tab. Let's call this our Team Calendar on the second tab. And now we can simply drag and drop our view that we've just created, here it is, onto our form. Drag it over, and there's our view. Fantastic. Well, that's all we need to do. Save my form. And let's switch personas back to the user who's using the app and capture one more task. Right, so now I'm going to say a new task. There my form renders. You can see the the views in the background, I mean the tab, sorry. And let me go and capture this item. So let's say check for food allergies. Let's pick somebody else this time. Maybe Pyramid. And there they're loading also from Salesforce. And I have to assign a date for this task, but I first need to go and see what's my team doing. So let's go and take a look at this team calendar. And there I have all of this information available for me for this month. And I can see Bob doesn't look all this busy next week. Brandon's out the entire week after, and James isn't doing all that much either. So next week's definitely a good week for this task. I can slot this in and assign it to Bob. Great. So let's go ahead and do that. I think I'll do that in the middle of the week. Let Bob work on that. There we go. And I can go ahead and save that once more. Oops, did I click on save? I don't think I did. There we go. Great. So throughout this process now, we've started from nothing, created our app, and we've spent a lot of time working on the form and making the form a lot richer. What I'd like to do now is show you how we can now take the next step and introduce workflow into the solution. We now have a pretty nice form, and it works quite nicely, but I want to be able to put some life behind that form and route this around. So I can simply go back to my application, and it's very easy to go and just add these additional capabilities to this solution. So now I'm just going to go ahead and say new workflow. And an interesting thing happens here. So because we have context, we know the list, we understand all of these forms and views because we generated them, we can make these choices a whole lot easier for the user to be able to wire the right things in the first time around. So we assume that you probably want to use the new task form to kick off this workflow. You don't have to. You can use the display or the edit task form or any other form that you like. You can kick off these workflows manually or via events. But in this case, I'm happy with the default. I'd like to wire in this one when I click save on my new task form. It should kick off this workflow for me. So this is going to land me in our workflow designer right here in the same environment, and I can start authoring my workflow. Now, I could spend an entire session just drilling in deep on workflow itself. I'm going to build a very basic workflow just to show you what that looks like. So the first thing I'm going to do is in this first drop zone is route this task to a manager for approval. So let's go and drag and drop that in. You'll see it's a basic wizard experience. And hit manager approval. And let's say, please look at this task and action it, something like that. And let's give the user some options, approved and declined. And these options will be surfaced to the user. Right, so that's the first question. What's the step called? Second question is, which form do we want to send to this user? Once again here, we try to make this experience easy, so we assume that you probably want to allow that manager to make some changes to the items on the form, so we default to the edit form, but it could be the display form or any other form as well. So this is perfect. And the last step is, well, who do you want to route this task to? I could go for something easy, which is what one typically does in demos, and just route this to the originator of this workflow, so everything always comes to me. Or I can go and select some users and groups from my group provider, which could be AD or Azure AD or SharePoint users and groups or anything that you want. In this case, I'm going to do something slightly different. So we have a lot of context, as I mentioned earlier. Because this list item, we know what list item it is that you've created when we kick off this workflow, we make that context of that entire list item available for you here to use inside this context browser. So what I'd like to do actually is route this task to whomever we've assigned it to in our assigned to field. So I can simply grab that field, drag and drop it on, and dynamically that will now route that task to that user. But I want to go one step further and actually notify that user that they have a task in case they're not at their desks when the task comes in and they still want to be empowered to be able to interact with this workflow. So when I click next now, I get the capability of building this notification. You can either use the standard notification, which comes with K2, or we can go ahead and customize that. So let's give this a subject. Let's say new task, and once again, make use of our item references. And I'll go grab the task name, it's here at the top, and simply drag and drop that in. Great. Now, what I'd like to do here is empower this user to be able to action on this item without necessarily even being at a computer, which means they might have access to email, potentially even on their mobile device. So let's go and take this entire form of this task, and I'd like to take a PDF snapshot of that form and email it out as an attachment to this actual notification itself. So I'm going to go ahead here to our PDF smart object. There it is. And this will then contain a PDF of the form. I can drag and drop that in. The only question it's going to ask me is, well, which PDF must I send out to the user? And so I need to create a new field for that, and we're going to go and populate that with the correct ID of the form when the user submits the form. So there we go. Create this PDF field and simply drag and drop it on, and I'm good to go. So there we go. That's the PDF. And then, of course, we have attachments as well. So potentially the user might have added some attachments to this list or this task when they created it. So if they are, let's go make sure that we send those out to the user as well. So I'm going to go back to my item references. Thus far, we've always used this conference tasks, but we also have access to the conference task attachments. And I can go and grab that file property, simply drag and drop that into the email as well. So if there are any attachments, they'll be added to the mail and sent out to the user. Perfect. That's exactly what I want. I'm going to hit finish. And this piece of it is done. Now I need to finish off my workflow. So I'm going to grab a couple of our other wizards just to go and fill the next two drop zones. So let's do something with list items. Let's say if this item is declined, we're just going to go ahead and remove this task entirely. I can simply grab delete list item and drop it in. We only ask the user two simple questions. Firstly, as I mentioned before, we have context to all of these things that you're working with as part of your workflow. And because I've enhanced my list to also make use of the category, I now have access to not only the list item for the task, but also the list item within the category list as well. And I can delete any one of those two if I want to. So I'm just going to say no, in this case, just delete the task. Otherwise, our categories will get real empty. And lastly, where do I want to delete it? Yep, we can just send that to the recycle bin. Perfect. On the approved side, let's do something similar. I'm just going to go ahead and update this list item, drag a simple wizard in there, fill in a couple of fields. Once again, it asks me which item, list item do you want to update. I want my task. And I'm going to go ahead now and just do something very simple like, let's just say that the status is now closed. Great. So there's my very simple workflow. And I can go ahead and deploy that. So this is doing a couple of things. First, it does a quick logical check to make sure that I've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. In this case, it seems to be very happy with that. Once that's done, it deploys the definition to the K2 server. Now, it's important to note this is not compiled code. We really have an XML definition of this logic, which we then execute on the K2 server in runtime, which is being sent out to that now. And there we go. So our workflow is created. When I click close, I end up back here on my application page. Now, I've kind of done the second part first, and I'm now going to do the first part second, because you've seen now how I've incorporated the PDF into the email, which will then send out to the user. But I'm sure you're all wondering, well, how the heck does the PDF get created in the first place? So that's the part I'm going to show you now. We actually have a control that takes care of that on smart forms. So I'm going to go back to my new task form. I'm going to go ahead and edit that, and then incorporate our PDF control to be able to snap this form as a PDF. So let's go to our controls. There you can see there's our save as PDF control, and I can drop that anywhere on this form. It's not a visual control. It just adds that behavior. So I'll simply drag and drop that. Maybe, I don't know, I'll just put it here at the bottom. That's absolutely fine. And now I have to edit a rule to make sure that the PDF gets taken or snapped at the right time. Now, we've just gone through the step of creating that workflow, so when I click the Save button, it's going to kick off the workflow. Obviously, I'd like to modify that rule, so just before we actually kick off that workflow, let's go and snap that PDF and send that out. Right, so we can do that very easily. I'm going to just execute a method on a control. There we go. You can see it's added this execute the save as PDF controls, save PDF method. Perfect. But this is now obviously inserted at the end of this rule. I'd like to do this slightly earlier, so let's go and take that one and move it up to be just before we start the workflow. Perfect. And once that's done, I'd like to take that ID that we then get back from this control and send it into the workflow and say, here we go. This is the ID of the PDF that we just snapped, so that we can make use of that for the notification. So I'll just drag and drop that over, very easy. And hit save. And I can once again save my form. All right, so we're back in our application page, and now I'm going to go ahead and capture one more item. So let's go and say new task. And in this case, let's say we need a display adapter for a laptop. Let's say this is once again for Edge Communications. It doesn't matter which one it is. There we go. And I'll go and select some dates. Let's say in this case, we once again are going to assign this to James. And we'll add a message in here saying, they have a Dell laptop with a strange connector. They sent us a photo. There we go. Perfect. This to me seems definitely like an audiovisual task. And lastly, I'm going to go and add some attachments. So let's go and browse once again. There's the photo they sent to us of this laptop so that James knows what he needs to do with that. And they also think they know what kind of cable they need. So let's go and grab this photo of the cable that they think they need, and I'm going to add that to this list item. Right, so I'm happy with that. I can go ahead and hit save. And that's now going to do a number of things. Firstly, it's going to create the list item. We're going to snap that PDF. We're going to kick off that brand new workflow that we've just created, and then the workflow will begin. And if everything works well, I did something interesting now. So I've just gone and sent that task to James, did I not? Well, being a good TV chef, I actually had logged in here earlier as Brandon, which obviously is not going to work right now. So let me quickly log in as James. Otherwise, that's not going to work. So give me 3 seconds. Quickly log into this machine as James. As you can tell, this is a real demo. I'm not using canned usernames. Denelix/James. And log in as him instead. There we go. Otherwise, you're not going to get the task. There we go. Just give that a second or two. And I need to now open up Outlook. Oops, I think that's one or two warm-up scripts that are firing. I'll just kill that. And quickly open up Outlook. There it is. Unfortunately, I don't think I've ever logged in as James before, so let me just quickly go next, finish. I'm setting up his email address. And it'll open up Outlook. And the task is already there waiting for us. So sorry about the extra couple of hoops. But there is the email for James with the attachments that we created earlier. So I can go over here and click on this PDF. Let's go see if we can preview this file. I've never opened PDFs here before, so let me just open it now, double-click it. And there it is. The entire form snapped as a PDF, attached, and mailed out to James. Similarly, I also now have these additional photos that we attached. There I can click and see, yep, there's what it looks like. Oh, that looks pretty much like a DisplayPort adapter here on this Dell laptop. And let's see what cable they think we can use. That cable will work great. So very easily, we've now empowered James to be able to see all of this work directly being offline and being able to make an informed decision. So I'm sure James is pretty happy with that, so he can simply say, yep, that's great. I've looked at it, and I approve this task. So he can simply say approved, reply back to the K2 server, and we will pass his response. And if there's something within there that we recognize, then K2 will go and action this item, and the workflow will then continue. Now, this takes anywhere between 2 and 30 seconds. I think the K2 server checks every 30 seconds, so we'll see how long this one takes, but it just takes a couple of moments. If, of course, James replies back with something that the K2 server does not understand, then he gets a very friendly mail back saying, fortunately, I can't understand the item you wanted. Here are some of the choices that you have. It gives him all of the help for the specific task. But in this case, I believe it should work just fine because I typed in approved. Right, so let's recap quickly whilst we wait for this mail. So we started with nothing, created the list, created the K2 application, built our first forms and views, enhanced those forms and views, added some workflow, and then enhanced that workflow such that we can now empower people that are offline. And in this case, it's James, and there we go. He's got a response back saying, you've successfully approved this task, the workflow can continue. Fantastic. So now I'd like to do a couple more interesting things. I mean, ordinarily, that might be a perfectly suitable solution, but I'd like to take that just this one step further. So what I'd like to do now is actually integrate the solution into Yammer. So we have some integration smart objects into Yammer, as well as some controls for smart forms. So let's go and do that and bring that into the solution. So I can open up a new tab here, and I'm just going to log into Yammer. And there's that Yammer feed that we have going here on the back. Yep, that's fine. I'll just leave that there. I can always jump around later in the demo and show you as things get added there. And let's go and enhance our solution. So I'm going to go back to my K2 application and enhance the solution. So what I'd like to do now is when I create a new task, let's go and post into Yammer some of the details about this new task as well and have some social interaction on that. So I'm going to go to my new task view and edit that. And I'd like to add a Yammer postbox directly onto this form. Let me see if there's any space for it. No, that space at the bottom here should be just fine. So let's go to our controls. And there are all my Yammer controls. And I can simply grab this message postbox and drag and drop that on. And there it is. Something else I need to do, of course, is let my users know what this thing is. So let's put a label beside it and give that a little bit of a text. Yammer post. Perfect. Right, so this Yammer message box over here needs to be wired up to a smart object. So I'm going to once again grab one of my smart objects. In this case, I'm going to go to this category right at the bottom for Yammer. And you can see I have access to Yammer groups, Yammer users, or Yammer messages. Now, I'd like to use this postbox to go and look up all the other users that are available on Yammer so I can incorporate them in my post. So I'm going to grab the Yammer user. And the value I'd like to display is the account name inside Yammer. But I'd like to display that a bit more friendly to the user because they might not know what that account name means. So let's say we want first name and last name. That's a lot more usable. Great. So that's what I'm going to display. Hit OK. And I've now wired in this Yammer postbox. Right. So let's take our form even further. And say I have my form. And I'd like to be able to see, now that I've made these posts into Yammer, what that will look like. So let's edit this new task form and make a few enhancements and bring that feed into the same form as well. So you'll see here that I actually have a Yammer newsfeed view, which I can drag and drop somewhere onto this form. And I'm just going to find a place for it, maybe here next to the attachments. There we go. And there's my newsfeed. And this is coming from Yammer. And then the final step that I still need to do is, of course, is when I click that infamous save button on my form, I want to make sure that it actually does the post to Yammer. I need to go and tell it to go and do that. So let's edit that same rule that we edited earlier to snap the PDF and add the capability to go and post into Yammer. There we go. So let's go and execute a smart object method. In this case, I'm going to go and tell my Yammer smart objects that I'd like to create a new message. Let's call the create method, and let's configure what that message looks like. Now, I can harvest little bits and pieces from all over my form and use that inside Yammer. So the first thing I want is whatever we typed into that control. So let's go to our message postbox and drag and drop that in. But we can do more than this. I mean, I'd like to add some additional fields. Perhaps let's add in the category, and I'd like to tag that as a topic. So I can go to my category control, and I'm just going to hashtag that and add that to the same post. Oops. Let's go to our drop-down list. You can see here there's the category smart object, and I can go and grab its title and drag it in. And lastly, let's go and add another hashtag. Let's call this SPC conference, something like that. Not some other tag I want to add to this particular post. Great. So I can build up as many of these as I want to, have this nice mix of items to post into Yammer. I'm going to hit finish, and finish one more time. And there we've now enhanced our form. Right, so let me go back into our form and capture one more list item. So we'll go to our conference tasks. Let's say new task. And you'll see here, if I scroll down to the bottom, there's my current Yammer feed sitting on the right-hand side waiting for me. And I have this new postbox. So let's go and fill this item in. So let's say firstly, I'll put a bit of focus on this thing. That's okay. That's just the browser. Need a UK plug. Go on, Mr. Browser. And for the company here, it doesn't matter. Let's just go say pyramid. And give this task a name and a date. Once again, I'm going to assign this to Brandon. Oh, there's one small thing that I didn't do. Sorry, I need to jump back into my rule. So the thing I didn't pay attention to was exactly when, inside my rule, it's going to go and execute this particular item. So let me quickly jump back and show you what I mean. By default, we add all of these items to these rules right at the bottom, which is what I did now as well. But, of course, as part of a good solution, when I click save, it's going to save this item, and then it redirects me back to my SharePoint list. Unfortunately, that happens in my rule before it actually does the post into Yammer. So Let me go back there, edit this rule. Go back to my save button rule. And you'll see over here, I've added this after navigating away from this page. Well, that's not going to work. So let's go and move that thing up. Let's say I wanted this to happen a little earlier, maybe over here. Yep, that's perfect. And I could actually even go and say, well, in this case, just I don't even care too much about the workflow. I can disable that temporarily. So if I want to, in this rule, enable and disable functionality as we go along. So yeah, that's great. Let's go ahead and do that. Save this rule and go back to our list item. So notice how easy it is to just jump between design mode and run mode right from within the same environment all the time. Right, so let's capture this guy. Need a UK plug. Let's say this is from Express. This is another company that I know is in Salesforce. There we go. And let's go capture these details. On the 12th, we'll assign this one to Brandon. And this is definitely an audio-visual task. We need some power. And let's go and type this post. So let's say also ask, and if I type somebody's name, you can see here this is now wired to a smart object. Brings me back all of the choices, and I say, who knows about this? No, Bernard's definitely the right guy about this. Great, and I can hit save. That's now going to go and create my list item, as well as send the post off to Yammer. So let's go and take a look. I'm going to switch my Avera. There we go. And there's my new post. You can see here that it's identified and taken those usernames and tagged them at the top, so it says to all company and Bernard, which is the guy that we tagged earlier. Please ask him about this, and we also have a topic for audiovisual and a topic for SharePoint conference, so that way I can go and filter all of these Yammer posts that are only relevant to this conference that I'm trying to put on right now. Right, so very easy to bring this kind of information into the same form, all in real time. Right, so this whole time we've built this solution from the context of SharePoint. We built the solution here, we've been interacting with SharePoint as our primary UI to build the solution, but we could actually have this solution be absolutely anywhere. So I can actually show you how I can host this exact same solution in something external like Salesforce.com. It already has my account information. Perhaps I'd like to use that UI as the primary UI that I'd like to use to work with these conference tasks. So let's go there, log in to Salesforce.com. There we go. I can go to my accounts. You'll see there's some familiar looking accounts in the list right there. Let's go to our good friends, Edge Communications. And within this detail page, I actually have access to this conference tasks app. When I click that, you can see how we embed these same smart forms. I've just used a different theme. This is why they don't look like they did inside SharePoint. They look a lot more like they do in Salesforce.com. But there's all this information available for me directly here. You can click on one of these items. You can see it loads all of this detail. There's the task coming in. Here are all the details from Edge Communications. I can even use external controls, such as their stock price at the moment with some kind of external content, all available from this application. If I want to use this as my primary UI, I can simply go and say a new task right here. See, it pops up this browser. There's access to everything, including our categories that we created earlier. And I could just use this UI to use the same application. Lastly, I also have some additional controls. I can have some reports and some historic workflow data. You can see over here, we've got all the categories for the items that we've captured thus far and some previous workflow instances. If I had work items on my work list, I could surface that all here within Salesforce.com as well, because we have this worklist control. So really, the location that this K2-based application runs is completely disconnected from the technology where the underlying data actually resides. And all of that just in a couple of minutes. Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, Olaf. We are going to switch to Q&A. Before we do that, as you guys know, we helped to sponsor the event. We have Jonathan King in the back there. I think there's a quick raffle that we have to run. It's part of the session. He's going to come to the front. If you don't have a ticket. All right, so it looks like they're going to solve the ticket problem. Some tickets in the front here. I think it's two $500 give vouchers. And then we're going to go to Q&A. The Q&A microphone's in the middle here. If you have questions, please start moving towards the middle, and we'll take some questions. I mentioned tomorrow morning there's going to be a session where we focus a lot more on cloud. What you saw today works against your on-premise SharePoint 2013 or your SharePoint online environment, and you can combine it into one single environment. What we are going to focus on tomorrow is if you have the question, well, what if I don't want to install K2 on-premise? What if I just want everything to run in the cloud, but my SharePoint is still on-premise? SharePoint on-premise, K2 somewhere else, is it possible? We're actually going to show to you how we do that in under 4 minutes. Short session. Are we ready, Jamie? Are we done? Okay. All right, let's start taking some questions while they do that. Any questions in the room? Is there a question in the front here? Is there a microphone? I think there's a microphone in the middle if there's questions.
Anyone wants to be able to get?
No, no, you can ask. I'll repeat your question.
So repeat the question.
So let me answer that question quickly, and then we'll come back to the second one.
Yep.
So, okay. So the question was, clearly K2 excels in integrating with external systems. The question is it full read and write? If you have data in Azure DB as an example, and the answer is yes, it's full read and write. Anything from SAP, Oracle, Salesforce.com, Azure DB, it's using the authentication of that system.
That's right.
You don't have to. You don't. We use OAuth. So if any of those backend systems supports OAuth, and Microsoft's expanding OAuth into all their system. They're making some announcements about unified OAuth. Other systems such as Yammer or LinkedIn that also uses OAuth. If you don't have OAuth, other authentication mechanisms as well. So it's never us. It's always that system that knows who you are and what you can do within that system. Full transactional, full read and write, stress tested to millions of transactions a minute with banks that uses the software every single day. So, second question?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Okay, so the question is, how do we deal with validation? If you build complex forms, there's validation that happens on the form, but sometimes validation is based on information that sits somewhere else. What do we do to assist you with that? There's actually an entire a component in the software that allows you to do that. You can have conditional loading, conditional formatting. You can make calls out based on the data that comes back. You can decide what you want to do. Do you accept it, reject it? Do I stop the form? Do I take a snapshot of the form and save it and archive it immediately? That's through the rules on the form, yes. It's in that logic. You can, and then depending on where you use the form, you can enable and disable those because sometimes some of that validation doesn't apply, or sometimes it does depending on the context of the form. But we've thought a lot about that, and it's very, very mature. You do not have to write code to do that. It's actually pretty powerful. So. We do. We do. If you do want to go there, yeah. Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a great partner called InRule as an example, and they build a policy engine. It's a rule engine. And you can combine smart forms within rules. Some of our customers do that, and especially in insurance industries where an insurance claim might have 20,000 possible ways that it can outcome, depending on the claim type. I mean, when we partner with organizations such as InRule, and they integrate into smart forms seamlessly, it's beautiful. It's really nice. And they are at the event as well. I would highly encourage you to visit them if that's interesting. So. Another question?
Yeah, we're currently a customer. We're running Black Pearl 466.
Yes.
And we're doing a lot of migrations from competing products right now. We're running into a lot of challenges because that's all code-based.
Yes.
Do you see this as a way to have to bypass the apps, the requirements of having developers that are writing 4.6.6 Black Pearl code in 2013?
Yeah, so if we, it's not possible for us to go into the depth of functionality that we build into the 2013 product in a session like this in an hour. I mean, this was already very busy, almost too busy to my liking. But so if you write code using this solution, you're solving a very, very unique problem. We have, the number of forms that's out there deployed now by some really big organizations that are migrating legacy systems onto this is pretty amazing, and it's done very quickly because you don't have to write code, you don't have to maintain code. You do end up in some scenarios. You do, and we know that for a fact, that where it might be necessary to build custom logic. And there are mechanisms to do it, either through services by calling out or by building a custom form on your control, which some of our customers do. It's very easy, very quick. You can buy any HTML control and convert it. You do it once, you don't have to do it again. So send us an email, willaf@k2.com or adrian@k2.com. I've got you. That's right. I have your card. And let's look at your scenario. I'll get Bob Margier from our team to sit down with you. And let's just see what's possible and what we can do to help you. And especially with the new tooling we have.
But what we're looking at here is all the post 4.6.6 version, correct?
This is all, yes. This is all available March 25th.
Yep.
It's available for download March 25th.
At least I got a date. That's fantastic.
You got a date. Yeah. It's March 25th.
There's a question on the side.
There's a question over there. Hand over there. Yes, it works in CRM as well. It's typically what we use, but at an event like this, we wanted to show how easy it is to step outside the Microsoft world, because that's a reality for us with some of our customers. This exact same scenario and more is possible within Dynamics CRM, including the very latest version that was released, updated a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. We actually have CRM running on this machine. We can do the same thing with CRM. We just decided to do it against a live instance of Salesforce. Another question in the middle. Yeah. So we have the ability to, it's a new addition. If you're familiar with SmartForm, that's something a lot of customers were asking for. Rules can now be objects, so a rule on its own thing. And obviously, you contain in that the part that's generic. You don't want to refer in there to something that won't be there when the rule is used somewhere else. But as long as you stay within those guidelines, you can reuse your rules across different environments. You can decide how you want to trigger them. Makes the lifecycle management a lot easier. Two more questions, and then we're going to do the raffle because I think we're going to run out of time. Yes.
Does this have changed anything?
Not yet, no. We haven't done the work into Visual Studio. It's when you look at our thick client and how we bring this into a thick client environment, that's work that's lined up this year for us. But this doesn't change it yet, unfortunately. You can use this from within Visual Studio, but you can't manage multi-user project using a TFS or something like that. There was a last question over there, and then... One product. If you buy Black Pearl, you get everything we do. You get our mobile applications for free, you get Smart Forms workflow, you get Smart Objects, you get everything. I mean, and we like our customers to think about all the potential that we have when they build these solutions, but you don't have to come and buy more from us. When we launched Black Pearl, existing customers didn't have Smart Forms, and unfortunately, because of accounting and revenue recognition, we had to differentiate for them. But any customer that since last year, end of last year, has bought Black Pearl, everything is included. You have an option on how you want to do it. We will talk a little bit more about licensing tomorrow in the cloud session, because we are announcing, and we'll talk about cloud there, about how easy this is and how accessible it is from a licensing point of view. So if you don't mind, if we can touch on that topic tomorrow, it'll actually, I don't have to give some of it away today. I can see it, save it for tomorrow. And more of you can come. Yes?
That you wrote apps for SharePoint. It would have been done through the CSOM broker for K2. So is there a tool within this component to help migrate those into the SharePoint object model so that those components can be brought forward?
So is it your current, yes. current solutions that you've built?
Yes.
Or so anything that you have in SharePoint 2010 today or SharePoint 2013, if you upgrade to this version of Blackpool or you upgrade your SharePoint environment to that environment, it's immediately available. Any workflow application, here's a very unique thing about K2, here's a very cool thing we've done. If you've built workflows against SharePoint 2010 and you upgrade to SharePoint 2013, even if it's native SharePoint 2013, so it doesn't have to be in 2010 compatible, your K2 workflows continue to work. You don't have to redo it, you don't have to throw stuff away, you don't have to restart, it works. And that's part of the benefit of investing in K2. Obviously, new stuff that you build lights up all the new capabilities because it's there and it's available for you to build new things with. But we've optimized the CSOM brokers a lot. It's a lot faster with the new work that Microsoft has done. They've made it possible for us. So there's not really a lot of migration work or thinking that you have to do when you bring the environment forward to this one. Yeah. But again, it's always this caveat that, you know, I want Bob to look at it.
Great.
Yeah. All right, I think we're going to wrap it up there, Jono. Must I draw one and read it? One or two? Two. Number 394647. 394647. There we go. Hey. Well done. Thank you. I have the other one here. And then the second one, 394153. 394153. Hey. There we are at the back. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of SharePoint Conference.